Welcome to Tips from the Server Room. This podcast is designed for all you systems admins, network specialists, or the guys and gals out there in the office who handles it all. Sit back, relax, grab a beverage, and enjoy Tips from the Server Room. Hey, welcome back everybody once again to Tips from the Server Room, episode number 16 for October the 1st, 2013. Hey, I'm your host Jack, and we're back here once again to bring you another Tips from the Server Room. I've been getting a lot of positive emails, and I appreciate those comments coming in from the different sources out there. I really do appreciate that, and it makes a big difference to me to know that I'm getting some messages out there to you guys and girls out there helping you with your system admin woes and your networking stuff that we need to deal with. With that said, as always, please check out my website, tipsfromtheserveroom.com, and you can comment on these shows. I'd love to hear from you. That's where I picked up some of these comments already. And you can also leave me voicemail. Voicemail helps for the shows because you can get your questions in there and leave them in your own voice, and it works out really, really well. The voicemail number is 724-701-0911, or you can email me at jackstechcorner@gmail.com. Love to hear your emails in there, as we had that question last week. Unfortunately, I'm sorry, we got no responses to that, so nobody out there must know anything about VPNs, and they can't help you out. So hopefully my tips helped you out there a little bit. I will tell you to look at LogMeIn Hamachi. We use it, and I think it's a great tool. You can load Hamachi on your server, whatever servers you want, up to 5 for free through LogMeIn. And then you can use your remote desktop client at home, and you can pop right in those servers. So it works really, really nice. So tonight, folks, what we're going to talk about a little bit here on this show, as the title I'm sure always gives it away, is going to be called Core Installs. Now, if you've never heard of a core install, first of all, you're going to say, well, I wonder what that is. So we're going to talk, first of all, about what a core install is and why you'd want to do it. We're also going to talk a little bit about what it is, obviously. We're going to talk about the roles that it will handle, what roles you can actually use with core install. And then we'll talk about and go over a little bit about the benefits of the core install. I'm not going to show it to you here in this particular show. We're not going to actually install it. I'm thinking about doing that for a future episode, possibly, if there's some people out there saying, man, Jack, we kind of want to know about more about that core install and know more about it. Believe me, it is command line driven, so for a lot of folks out there, it's not the best of best worlds because you're like, huh, you know, when did we use commands last? Back in the DOS world, right? So now we look at it and we're like, what unbelievable pressure that is. It's really, really hard. But I don't think it is. I think you'd be fine doing the core install. So first of all, let's talk a little bit about the core installation. The server core installation option is an option that can be used for installing Windows Server 2008, 2008 R2, 2012, and now 2012 release candidate 1. Okay, a server core installation provides a minimal environment for running specific server roles, which in turn reduces your maintenance and your management requirements and the attack surface of the server roles. A server running a core installation of Windows Server supports the following server roles. Now, what are those roles? Well, those roles are actually Active Directory, ADDS, Active Directory Lightweight Directory Services, or ADLDS, DHCP Server, DNS Server, File Services, Hyper-V, which, why would you load a full Windows desktop for Hyper-V, right? We don't want to do that. Print Services, Streaming Media Services, or a Web Server, IIS. Now, a server running core installation supports the following server roles. Okay, so the server roles are Active Directory Certificate Services, as we talked about, Active Directory Domain Services, Active Directory Lightweight Directory Services, and as we talked about the other ones, DHCP, DNS File Server, Hyper-V, Print and Document Server, Streaming Media Services, and Web Services. To accomplish this, the Server Core Installation option installs only a subnet of the binary files that are required to support the server roles. For example, the Explorer shell, all right, obviously the point-and-click part of Windows that we all know and love and makes it really easy for us to do our jobs, is not installed as part of the Server Core install. Instead, a default user interface for the server running a core installation is the command prompt. Now, we talked about that earlier, and I'm going to go over a little bit about this, because when I installed Windows Server 2012, to give you guys the first look out there for us to do the first couple episodes of this show running Windows Server 2012, I accidentally did a core install. Now, if you do a core install and the accidental part of that is actually seeing that command prompt coming up after that long install process, you're like, uh-oh, you did something wrong. Now, recently we've been talking at work. We are going to build and set up another DNS server. I talked to you guys about this early on when we set up a DNS server in this podcast, and we talked about how to do that. And the YouTube video is up on my YouTube channel, which is 42 Technoman. If you want to go check that out, you'll see the video of setting up a DNS server. But we talked at work that we may be loading core install. We may do a core because we don't need all the overhead of the Windows. We don't need all the overhead of all the services running. All we need is a DNS server to run, and we need it to be able to communicate with our primary DNS server and exchange the records back and forth. So we are probably going to load core install. And if we do that, I'll probably do my best to videotape it, or at least do some audio recordings as we're doing that. And we'll walk you through that process when we set that up. Again, the main reason for using core install, if you didn't capture it yet in this show, is that it allows us to run a server, but with very low overhead. Let's face it, folks, when Windows Explorer runs and we have all them windows running and all that services running in the background, it puts an added stress on our servers that we don't need. And remember I brought up the Hyper-V? Well, we run VMware ESXi in our network, and that's what our virtualization platform of choice is. And it does not load a Windows interface. But if you load the full Windows server and then you load your Hyper-V, you get that plug-in or the snap-in to the manager tools, you just don't need all of that. There's just not a big need for that. When you're running a Hyper-V server, I would tell you to run the core install. Learn the commands, because once you set these things up, you don't have to reset it up. Okay, if you set it up properly, and I know it's going to take a little bit longer time when you're using the command line, you're going to have to look up the commands, and you're going to have to find those commands to make it easier to do things. And I do have a couple links for you to help you out with the commands, and I will put those into some form of show notes. So if you look at this tipsfromtheserverroom.com, and you look at episode number 16, you'll see underneath that I'll put a link and I'll put some show notes in there, and I'll link it out to a page on the blog site there, and you can find those. So that is the key reason why you want to load the core install. Now we're going to talk a little bit about what is the installation option. Why we talked about why we're going to do this. Now we're going to talk about it says what's new in the installation option. Let's talk a little bit about that. The Server Core installation option of Windows Server 2008, 2008 R2, and 2012 requires initial configuration at the command prompt. Now remember, we talked about this. It's at the command prompt. A Server Core installation does not include the traditional full graphic user interface. I think we clarified that pretty well, and we don't have to worry about that any longer. Once you have configured the server, you can manage it locally at the command prompt or remotely using a terminal server connection. You can also manage the remote server using the Microsoft Management Console or command line tools that support remote use. So folks, you can still use MMC and you can still get back to that server from one of your workstations. And that's a great way to run your servers anyway. And let me step back a little bit. All of our servers I told you are running as virtual servers on ESXi from VMware. Now, when we have our servers running, we never, and it would be pretty hard, other than going through the vSphere software, we can log into the servers directly, but we cannot hook a monitor to our servers and we cannot hook a keyboard directly to them anymore because they're virtualized. So we tend to more than not remote desktop into those. You know, so you have your remote client on your computer. We use a program now, and we'll talk about one day on the Macs, called Cord. It's C-O-R-D. And that program, for whatever reason, there's some kind of security certificate that will not allow a Windows Server 2008 R2 to be connected from the new Mountain Lion OS X. So instead, we found a program written by a gentleman, and it's called Cord, C-O-R-D. It's free. You put that on your Mac, and you can then remote into all of your Windows servers, and it works very well. I've had multiple screens open, and everything works very fluent. So that is how we manage our servers now. We just remote into them. We don't go to the server itself anyway. So if you can remotely manage a core install, then why do you need the graphical user interface to begin with? And let's see where we was here. Once you have configured the server, you can manage it. Okay, we talked about that. The server core installation of Windows Server 2008 support additional server roles and Windows features. So I don't know if we'll talk about that or not. Let's move on here to my guide, my list of notes. What we're going to talk about now a little bit is we are going to go over some of the benefits of the server core install. Now, we talked more or less about the overall benefits. It's very clear and it's very precise what those overall benefits are. But now we have to worry more about the actual benefits, you know, straight out of the box. What would we get if we install it? But, and I know you already have this question because I had the same question, and I called Microsoft because I said, wait a minute. If core install loads and it doesn't have all the pretty interface and everything, and it doesn't have this and it doesn't have that, it should be cheaper. But when I got a hold of Microsoft, I found that no, it's the same price because it comes on the same disk as the full Windows with the GUI. So if it comes with the GUI and you can load it, or you can select core install, and that's why it comes for the same price. And my partner said, these people didn't get to where they are for being dumb. He makes very good sense. Microsoft didn't make billions and billions of dollars because they do things cheaply. They just sell you one product and let you choose what you like to install. Okay, so with that said, let's move on. So the benefits of the server core installation. Obviously, it's reduced maintenance because the server core installation option installs only what is required to have a manageable server for the supported roles. Less maintenance is required than the full installation of Windows Server. Again, pretty cool. Reduced attack surface. I don't really know what they mean about this, but reduced attack surface. Because the server core installations are minimal, there are fewer applications running on the server, which decreases the attack surface. So I guess what they're saying there is there's less vulnerabilities open up, because there's less ports open, there's less services running to be concerned about. So if a virus would come in, there's less ideas or less places for it to attack. And I guess that's a pretty decent thing there. Reduced management. Because fewer applications and services are installed on the server, running server core installation means, obviously, there's less to manage. Well, that makes perfectly good sense. We're only managing what we want to manage. So if you're loading up a DNS server, we are loading a DNS, and that's all we're going to operate is DNS, then we're going to be concerned with DNS. If you're loading DHCP, Again, you're going to load up DHCP and manage DHCP. Now, how about this, folks? This is really, really good, huh? Less disk space is required. A core server installation requires only about 3.5 gigabytes of disk space to install and approximately 3 gigabytes for operations after the installation. So 5.5 or half a gigabyte of temp files must get loaded that do get pulled and deleted afterwards. So that makes it very nice and very easy to operate and very efficient to operate, I would say. But you have to remember that this is going to take a little bit more time to set up, to configure. I mean, I've been doing server installs for so long. I can set a server install up now pretty quickly, and it doesn't take me a real long time to get the server install up and operational, you know, because what I do beforehand, I plan it out, and we'll talk about that one day about bringing up a server on your domain. But we usually map it out. We map out the IP address we're going to use and everything in advance, the name, we're going to name it, and we make it so it's really easy and efficient to set up. What I'm going through now is I'm just kind of looking to see if there's any other notes that I wanted to bring up with you today outside of the show notes that I said I'll put together. And I will put them with this show so you guys can go in there, because I have a list of commands, a quick reference server core installation. And it talks about joining a domain. I got computer name, changing your computer name, changing the name, the workgroup name, activating the server locally, activating the server remotely, configuring a proxy server, installing an update. So yeah, even installing an update is going to be at the command prompt, so it's going to be a little different. And I am really intrigued by this. I have never set up a core install. That's why I wanted to bring it to you guys. A lot of times I bring these shows out for something I want to do that I have planned in my short, in my very short near future. And this is probably one of those things that I really would like to be able to do. And but I think... looking at my quick reference for core install, I'm going to have to find more directions. I'm going to have to find more actual commands to actually run these things. So that would be something that we need to dig into and try to find out a little bit. But what I wanted to bring to you mainly tonight, folks, was just a little bit about the core install. And just don't be afraid of it. You know, you guys are professionals out there. Now, if you're that systems admin, that person, if you're the accountant that I met one time when I took a job, the one of the accountants, actually a lady that did payroll, she was actually the organizational's server manager. And when I talked to her, I said, well, how much training do you have on the server? She told me that really none. A guy came in and showed her how to log in and how to add users and how to give the people permission to log onto a computer. And that was about what she knew how to do, which was fine. But if you are that person in your office, do not load a core install. I would suggest you load the full Windows interface, and then you have full manageability over what you're used to seeing. There's nothing wrong with it, folks. We have right now in our server rack, we have 9 virtual servers running. And on those 9 virtual servers, we all of those have the full GUI or the full Windows interface or Windows shell loaded, so we have full access to those. Now, what I do find when you do that is most of our servers anyway, maybe yours don't, they tend to collect stuff on the desktop because the guys will be working on one of the servers, will download a patch for one of our software programs on the server or an SQL patch or whatever, and they tend to load it to the desktop and they tend to leave it there. Or sometimes we'll write notes on the server, and I've gotten into this a long time ago. I usually open Notepad, and I'll date the note, and then I keep the notes on the desktop. So, again, not the greatest idea in the world, but at least I know where those notes are, and it keeps me very organized. Because let's face it, I also use Evernote. Like for these shows, I use Evernote, and I love it. It's a great, great program, and I'm using it more and more and more. But whenever I go to work on one of my servers, I may not have access to Evernote. So I know that the note is on the server. So Plus, if one of my other server admins jump on that server to do something and they look to see when was it updated last, what was the last patches checked, they'll see those notes in there and they know right away. They don't have to get into my Evernote. So they do tend to be a little bit messy and, you know, be that whatever it is, but that does happen. So if you use core install, there wouldn't be a desktop. There would be nowhere to keep this stuff. And I think that's really important. So overall, and, you know, so anyway, but we are going to possibly load it here. I haven't really figured out if I will or not. I have a lot of other show topics that we're going to be talking about. If you go to tipsfromtheserverroom.com, you're going to see on there, I put the ideas, I think is the link at the top of the page. If you click on that, it has some future shows coming up that I'm working on, some stuff I'm kind of kicking around in my head on how to present it to you guys and girls out there, and to kind of bring this out in a fashion where you're going to understand it or at least be interested. Because when you do a show like this, when you do a podcast like this, this is a podcast that's trying to capture everybody out there that's in the field that's doing this, from the, as I said, from the office system admin to the dedicated technologist system admin that went to school for it, to somebody that has a doctorate in technology. I'm trying to catch everybody in this show and try to bring something to all walks of technology life. And that's my dreams for the show anyway, and my hopes. If you have any ideas for future shows, please don't hesitate to call me. You know, I take all requests. I'm like a disc jockey, you know, I take all requests. But anyway, guys, it's 724-701-0911. Or just email me what you're thinking about at jackstechcorner@gmail.com. Say, hey, Jack, I got an idea. We want to talk about, you know, memory, computer memory. We want to talk about SQL, something about the SQL servers, some SQL commands, which, I'm not the most fluent in the world, but I use a lot of them. So something like that. You know, one day we're going to talk about using batch files to create, you know, we have, as I said, a lot of you know out there, I work for a school, so we have a lot of files that run at night. We look at the students' server drives. We pull out stuff like if they download an MP3, we delete that. We delete movies. And we actually move it in case it's something important. We give it back to them the next day. But what we try to do is get that out of there. Any batch files, any executables, you don't want that stuff running on a U drive. And we'll talk about that down the road. That's another show. So anyway, I'd like to thank you so much once again for joining me here for this show. I really do appreciate you coming by each week. And if you get a chance and you want to learn more about Windows Server 2008 R2, Windows Server 2012, and the new 2012, I think it's R2 or R1. Yeah, I think it is R2. Server 2012 R2 or VMware ESXi 5.1, 5.2. Please check out my online classes at tipsfromtheserverroom.com. They're very, very inexpensive. And I keep it that way so the courses have a high impact at a very, very low cost. So look for the online class link at the top of the page. The classes are self-paced. You don't have to rush. You watch a video and you take a short quiz. So I'd appreciate if you stop over and check those out. Once you complete the courses, as many already have, and there's still many people in the courses right now taking those lessons and learning with us, you will earn a certificate, which I mail to you. Once again, check out the website, tipsfromtheserverroom.com. So folks, have a great night. I'm sorry this show actually got produced a little bit later tonight, but it's a podcast, so you guys are catching it. But I usually record these at 8 o'clock, and I was doing them live, but I kind of pulled away from the live shows because there just wasn't enough viewers. So I am recording it. I don't know if I'm actually going to send this to YouTube because there's very low viewership on YouTube also. But the podcasts are going strong, and I know most of us in this field like to just listen to somebody talking in our cars. And it's a great way to get the message out there to you, unless I have to show you something. And then we may put the YouTube video together and throw it up so you can see it happening. So take care. And again, if you want to look at that video I talked about earlier, check out my YouTube channel. The YouTube channel is 42 Technoman. All right, everybody, have a great, great evening or morning or afternoon whenever you're picking up this podcast. And I'll talk to you next time on Tips from the Server Room. So long, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time. just listened to Tips from the Server Room with your host, Jack. If you have any questions, please drop me a comment at tipsfromtheserverroom.com. Thanks again for tuning in and downloading the shows. Now sit back, relax, and listen to the remainder of the music. We'll see you next week on Tips from the Server Room. So long.